This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Some societies spend billions of dollars in the pursuit of shortcuts or efficiency or productivity hacks or productivity tips or faster results. Some products are literally advertised as being the product that will help you to attain the result that you want in a shorter span of time. And people are willing to spend more time or more money on things like this because it saves them time. People are willing to use technology, to use support systems, to use products and services that will save them as much time as possible in the pursuit of whatever it is that they want. That's what instant gratification is at times, that you want to have that feeling of fulfillment in the short term and not in the long term. For example, many university students will be looking for productivity hacks, how to study better, study tips, using AI in some of their studies as well, and trying to find shortcuts, trying to find ways to learn what they need to have the desired outcome quickly. So when we look at the changes in the landscape, in economy, in corporations utilizing different technologies, especially now as more and more companies are integrating different types of software and different types of processes, we think of an Islamic concept that oftentimes is neglected, and is the concept of barakah. The concept of barakah, loosely translated as blessings, and something that is intertwined with every single thing that you do. Whether you're thinking about being a parent, you're talking about being a student, you're talking about your workplace, you're talking about your health, your energy, your food, whatever it is you want to think about. The concept of barakah, a divine blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whomever He wills amongst His creation. You can find it in people or in things. You can find it in time as well. And the things that you find barakah in, of small quantity, you will find them lasting longer. You will find they are more sufficient. You'll find a bottle with water in it that is almost empty, but has a lot of barakah for whatever reason we'll get to. That this amount of water will quench the thirst of the person who wants it much more than perhaps a bottle that is full, as an example. So the concept of barakah applies to many things. And the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua for it. And he used to pray for the Sahaba for it. And he made dua for the city of Medina to have it. Barakatan ma'a barakah. And this is his dua for Medina. And what made it so special was the Prophet ﷺ's status and his dua. And so an example is Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. A young companion started learning at a really young age from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one time the Prophet made dua for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Allahumma akthir malahu wa walada." Oh Allah, increase his wealth and his offspring. And then he said, "Wa barik lahu fima a'tayta," and put barakah in the things that you have given him. Similar to the dua we should be making every night in witr, "Wa barik li fima a'tayt," in the dua of qunut. So when you think of barakah, you find this example, this reality, in stories like this, because Anas went on to become one of the wealthiest of companions of the Ansar because of this dua. And also, he had so many children and grandchildren. The historians say we cannot actually document and know who they all are, because there were almost 100 by the time he died. And he lived to the age of 103 approximately. So Anas radiallahu anhu, you saw the example of this dua in his life, in his practice. And when we think of the concept of barakah, it's something that we should seek. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls all provisions, all arzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives, and He is the generous, al-kareem. But we are told that there are certain things that we should do that will increase one's barakah. And these are the things we're going to cover with the limited time that we have, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, it always begins internally with sincere intentions. If someone says, "I want to be part of an organization. I want to volunteer for a noble cause. I want to advocate on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Palestine. I want to take care of the situation in Sudan. I want to take care of this matter in my local community." We recognize that your intention will not just affect the reward that you get. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The actions are judged by the intentions. And anything you do that you say is an act of worship, then it must be purely for the sake of Allah, and it must be done correctly. These are the two conditions. It must be sincere and it must be correct. So as you're advocating, as you're working, as you're volunteering, as you're doing ibadah, because of the strength of your ikhlas, your sincere devotion, you will notice, or you might not see it in the moment, but there will be a barakah in the effect of the action, the impact. And it could be, as is the case for many people, long after you left this world or stopped the act of worship, long after you finished the project or volunteering for the cause, that your sincere intention was the reason you were able to get so much more where if you were to compare this to someone who had no barakah in their actions and their effort and what they were doing, they would find a lot less in it. Of course, we have many examples when it comes to ikhlas, benefiting your time, benefiting your work, the raising of your children, the tarbiyah that you've given them, the efforts towards noble causes. What are you doing all of this for? If it does not start, and if it's not purely devotional to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that it is lacking in its potential. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity. Allahumma ameen. Number two, we find in the hadith as-silatul rahim, upholding the ties of kinship. The Prophet ﷺ told us, whoever would like for his rizq to be increased and his lifespan to be extended, then let him uphold the ties of kinship. Silatul Rahim. And in another narration as well, Birr al-Walidain. Man barra walidayhi tuba lahu zada Allahu azza wa jalla fi umrihi. Many scholars say, the way that this happens could be, number one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote in al-lawh al-mahfuz that you did this thing, you made that choice, so you were given an extension in your life. Number two, the second possibility many scholars state is that it adds a barakah to your lifespan. So you're going to get much more out of your life with the time that you have left because of the acts of worship that you do. And this applies to everything we are striving for. Why is this being mentioned here? Many times in an individualistic world, where technology increases, where social media use increases, where people become more isolated, even amongst Muslims, of course, you find that we have to emphasize how important family is, how important it is to have birr al-walidain. For many students as well, when you go off to colleges, universities, your responsibilities increase, that oftentimes you start to become more disconnected and distant from family. Remember the role of family in Islam and how much blessing there is in family. Number three is the Quran. On numerous occasions do you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to it as mubarak, blessed. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayati. This book that came down is blessed. And the scholars say, the one who connects to the Quran will not maybe notice immediately, but will have a blessing in their lives in ways they couldn't have anticipated otherwise. And the one who connects to the Quran is not just the one who memorizes or reads and doesn't understand, but the one who reflects on it as well. لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ. The one who puts it to practice. The point of revelation is to practice, to internalize, to change, and to change others as well. And specifically, there are two narrations, two ahadith. One of them is a saying of Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was sick at the end of his life, she would read Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas on him as he taught her to, for the barakah, for the healing, for the shifa found in the surah and the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given through the recitation of the surah. But there's one specific narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly says, read the Quran, meaning read it often. اقرأ القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. It will come on the Day of Judgment interceding for its companion. If you make the Qur'an your friend in this world, it will be your friend on the most important day of your existence. It will be the reason that it intercedes for you and causes you to enter Jannah, as we find in the hadith. But then the hadith continues. The Prophet ﷺ says, recite the two lights. The two lights are Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. These are the two lengthy opening surah of the Qur'an. There are other lengthy surah too. But notice this, the hadith continues in Al-Bukhari. And the Prophet ﷺ says, اقرأوا. And he mentions Surah Al-Baqarah specifically. And he says the one who reads it, the one who recites it, the one who befriends it, the one who practices, in other words, the one who reads Surah Al-Baqarah, it will be a source of barakah. The explicit reference to blessings in the lengthiest surah of the Quran should cause us to think, should cause us to really think about what many of the scholars say with this hadith. Because right after this, the Prophet ﷺ says, the one who abandons it, meaning if you don't befriend Surah Al-Baqarah, if you don't read it in your home or for yourself, then it's going to be a cause of regret, a cause of loss. And then he says, and the sorcerers cannot penetrate it. Now some of the scholars say, Batala is not sorcerers, Batala is the lazy people. The people who always come up with excuses, they will not be able to recite it. They won't ever have the time to sit down and say, let me finish reading Surah Al-Baqarah on this day or during this week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us wherever we are, in our homes as well. The barakah here, many scholars say, could be in your time. Because of how much time you spent reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in the rest of your time. And ironically, of course, if you were to look at this from a dry, empirical, naturalistic perspective, you will think, well, I'm sacrificing 2 or 3 or 4 hours to read the surah. How is this going to increase the blessings in my time? If you're looking at it empirically, you won't. You won't understand how. But the empirical equation leaves out a divine blessing that cannot be measured, cannot be understood scientifically. The blessing that Allah gives you for acts of worship that are specified is not something we can understand or even retest in a lab. But those who read it regularly will attest to it. Those who are connected to dhikr and dua, those who are connected to the Quran, they know what they have with it, and if they stop this practice after seeing these blessings from Allah 3, 5, 10, 15 years later, they will feel like they're missing something that is necessary. They will feel like they cannot function this month because they missed something important. Surah Al-Baqarah does not need to be recited in one sitting. But generally speaking, you should try to have the practice of having it recited in the home, having it recited for the blessings, having it recited for the protection as well. Because the devils cannot enter a home, cannot come near a home that Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us consistency and allow us to unlock the barakah that is found in these specific acts of worship. Number four is to seek barakah in time. Specifically, there's a dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made 1400 years ago that is still accepted to this day. When he said alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Wa fi riwaya, burika li ummati fi bukuriha. May Allah put blessings for my ummah, my nation, in the morning times. And the scholars say that this is the time of Fajr. This is the early hours of the day. The Sahabi who reported this hadith used to do his business later in the day, around noon. When he heard the Prophet ﷺ say this, he changed his transactions, his business, to start earlier. And he said, I notice my profits increasing. He is the one who narrated this hadith. And of course, you will find that most people, for example, who memorize Quran or review their Quran or doing acts of worship or even secular work, you will find many people testifying that these morning hours are precious and you're able to accomplish a lot more if you take advantage of it. We have many examples like this from the Sunnah, from the Sahaba, from the Tabi'een, from the scholars as well. But one thing I want to emphasize with this point of time is that most people will probably share a similar feeling and sentiment when a younger person asks them, how should I use my time in high school, in college, in my current phase of life? Somebody who has a lot of life experience will tell them, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. One of the most important consistent advices. Because you start to realize how regretful and painful it is when you look back 5, 10, 15 years later. That I wish I used my time more wisely. It's never too late, but I wish I used my time more wisely. And the reality is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about this. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. Two blessings many people waste. They're heedless of. Free time and good health. Meaning free time until you get too busy. And then as you get busy, you say, I wish I had more time to do more productive things, more beneficial things, more fruitful things. And good health as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our health, in our time as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who live a fruitful life. There are people who live very fruitful lives and the lifespan is very short. And there are people who live for many decades and there is no benefit, there is no fruit in their lives. They haven't really strived for anything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that barakah. And of course, it is an act of worship to ask Allah for barakah in the things that you have, including time. Number five is dua and dhikr. Different types of dua that are explicit and obvious, like the dua of qunut in witr, wa barikli or wa barik lana fima a'tayt. This is an example. But we notice in our greetings to one another, when someone has a child, there is a certain dua you'll make. When someone gets married, there's a certain dua you make. And a lot of these dua revolve around the concept of barakah. Barakallahu lakuma or burika laka with the newborn that you have. So you use these words very frequently. You should think about what they mean. When you see someone who has something good, make dua for them. You say, mashallah, may Allah put barakah in it for them. And as you make dua for them, you make dua for yourself too if it's something that maybe you don't have and you want. But as you're making dua for barakah and what other people have, and you're making dua for barakah in the things that you have, think about the reason you want the barakah. The fruit of barakah is not to just have more of something. The reason that you think when you give charity, there will be a barakah in the rest of my wealth, is not just so I have more money. The objective of barakah is to use it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the fruit of it. That now that you have more of it, you're more grateful to Allah. Now you're closer to Allah. Now you're using the things that Allah blessed in a manner that is pleasing to Him. There are many, many other examples as well, but we want to be consistent with dua and with dhikr. Number six would be the business transactions. The Prophet ﷺ tells us when two people have an honest, clear transaction, to paraphrase the narration, and they know what they are buying and selling, there are no defects in their products unless they've expressed it, there will be barakah in their business. Number seven is charity. We know this, we hear this all the time, that the one who gives the rest of their wealth will have more barakah. And that Allah promises, أنفق يا ابن آدم أنفق عليك, I will spend on you. If you spend, O son of Adam, in charity, I will spend on you. In other words, you will be taken care of and what you give in charity is not lost. Number eight is actually something that studies show is becoming more individualistic, which is food, eating, mealtimes. As people in families are more and more eating alone and in private and just disconnected from one another, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Kulu jami'an wa la tafarraqu." Eat together and do not become divided, do not separate, meaning when it comes to mealtimes. فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. There's a barakah in the gathering, in the congregation. And even when you eat, there's a barakah in eating from the similar foods. When you eat, for example, suhoor, when you have your pre-dawn meal before you fast, there's a barakah in it. The Prophet ﷺ says, when you break your fast in the hadith of Tirmidhi, if you can find dates, there's a barakah in it for you. If not, then water, according to one narration. So when you look at these narrations, you find that the very practice you have every single day with things that are seemingly mundane, eating, making dua, walking, going to school, your studies, your time, your schedule, it's all connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believer. And the believer looks for barakah in everything. The believer seeks that barakah in everything. Why? So that you can maximize your impact. So that you can maximize your reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that you can do more with less. More with less. More with less. You're getting more for your time, more for your money, more out of your health. And so if you say, I want to spend this time studying, working, raising a child, advocating for our brothers and sisters around the world, then it is necessary for you to say, how can I do so in an efficient manner? How can I increase my efficiency? The next time you're going to post something, share something, attend an event or whatever it may be with regards to injustice, whether in Gaza or anywhere else, think to yourself about your intention as well. And as you're on the way there, about the dua that you're making, the barakah of the event, may Allah put barakah in this campaign, in this project, in this event, in the impact of this work, the charity that you give. Right before you give it, you think to yourself, Ya Allah, grant me sincerity and put barakah in this and allow it to go far and put barakah in the rest of my wealth. We should be as mindful as possible when it comes to these matters. But of course, one of the things that could prevent barakah in one's life is sinfulness. To stray from Allah, to disobey Him, especially for those who don't go back to Him frequently. To sin, istighfar is a door of relief, and it adds more barakah to one's life, and sinfulness may be the reason that you are deprived from something great. And so this would be the ninth point.